Pleased to now be joined by Camilo Bajegas from South Florida. Always good to catch up, my friend. Want to start with your description, how you would describe Mia's Miracles and the growth and impact that it has had on so many people.
Wow, how would I describe Mia's Miracles? I guess it's a new purpose in life for my wife, Maria, and myself. And obviously, people know the story. We lost our little angel, Mia, in 2020. We spent 5 months at Nicklaus Children's, who, by the way, I'm very thankful to Jack and Barbara and that institution. And a seed was planted. That's the gift that Mia left us, and it's helping others. And therefore, we are here in this new mission about just adding our 2 cents to those people that are going through similar situations to what we lived. And we have 4 unbelievable programs, each with a little different target. We got Mia's Blessings. We got Mia's Ernie's Spaces, Mia's Helping Hands, and now a new program, Mia's Dream Team. Again, each program has its own little focus, but at the end of the day, we're just trying to touch the people's hearts. Once again, we lived it for 5 months, and that's the gift that Mia left us, so now it's our time to give back. The PGA Tour has been an unbelievable institution in terms of charity and giving back. Jack, Nicklaus, and Barbara are inspiring us to continue the great work they've done, and now it's our turn to get this thing going and growing.
Camilo, what are some of the events that you have planned this week in association with your foundation?
Yeah, this week in particular, the Cognizant and tournament director Todd has been great. We're trying to get more involved in different tournaments. We have the Wives Association is doing an event tomorrow. We have a couple players going to Quantum House, a place where we get involved, and they're doing a sponsor value there. It's nice for the players to see where some of our charity dollars are going, how we're impacting these families. So tomorrow we have a cool little thing where I'm going to meet a family that's been going through some challenging times. Sydney, 11-year-old girl who got diagnosed with brain cancer in 2024. Sydney and her mom are coming. They're going to watch me hit a few balls before I play and then walk a few holes in the pro-am. So it's once again, the PGA Tour does such an unbelievable job for charity, and we get this opportunity to do it ourselves a little bit more personal, partner with great people, great tournaments, great institutions, and once again, add our 2 cents to those people that are going through challenging situations.
Hey, Camille, you mentioned that Wednesday Pro-Am. What sort of advice or counsel do you have for those grieving families, having been through this horrible experience yourself?
Can you repeat that again? Sorry, I lost you there.
What sort of advice or counsel do you have for those grieving families having gone through this unimaginable tragedy yourself?
Oh, you got to be patient. You got to be very hopeful, and you have got to have a lot of love. You got to be united with your family, and you got to just make sure you have the time for those that are in need. And we were very fortunate that was our case. I was not playing at the time. I moved down to Miami and spent as much time as I could with my wife and my daughter, Mia. It was crazy times because it was COVID. So that's a little bit of what we're trying to do. We're trying to kind of lift the financial burdens on many families that struggle to spend time with the people that are going through this diagnoses. Just make sure there's that love and that care for your loved ones and for those that are in need.
Bigger picture, Camilo, what does it mean to you and your family to see so many make such a commitment to your foundation?
Wow, the love and support that we've received, not only with our foundation Mia's Miracles, but when it all happened, when we walked into the hospital in Nicklaus Children's in 2020 with our daughter, the golfing world, the non-golfing world, the energy, the love, the support, it's been pretty touching. I think it reinforces that we've done the right things, we've treated people the right way, and now people are showing that love and support back to us, and now not only that, but they're joining in our great cause of Mia's Miracles and helping us raise a bunch of dollars and be able to be as to have the greatest impact we can have.
Camilo, I know you just finished up your practice round at PGA National. What's your outlook for 2026, trying to balance your playing opportunities that you do have in the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour, as well as all of your off-course commitments, either with the policy board or what you have going with the foundation?
It's been very busy. I was talking with somebody last week, and yes, Camilo Villegas is 44, getting a little bit older. Priorities have changed in many ways. We got our son Mateo, 4 years old. My wife is fully on with Mia's Miracles. I'm trying to work out, stay healthy, practice, attend a bunch of meetings for the board and represent the players the best way I can. It's been a fun, challenging experience. I've learned a lot. I've enjoyed it. It does take a lot of time away from my schedule, but it's a way of me giving back to the game and the platform and the institution that has allowed me to accomplish my dreams, which is the PGA Tour, so I'm happy to do it.
A five-time winner on the PGA Tour, what still motivates you in your mid-40s to think that maybe a sixth victory out there is still possible?
Well, you just said it, the number six, and I keep thinking about it, and 2023 was very special, being able to look up in the sky and dedicate that one to Mia. And I think I would love to dedicate the next one to my son Mateo. Hopefully he comes. Hopefully he comes sooner rather than later. And that's one of the things that keeps us going. I guess in life, you got to enjoy the process and you got to continue to grow. It's not about getting to a specific place, but just enjoying the process and growing through the process. And that also motivates me a lot. I mean, I wake up every morning with a plan, with a desire, with a goal, and you got to execute the plan to accomplish your goal. So it's fun.
Miller, one of your biggest responsibilities right now is a member of that future competition committee for the PGA Tour. What can you share with us about that process and what fans can expect in the future models of the PGA Tour?
Well, I got a meeting in about 20 minutes, so yes, there's a lot going on. We've been looking at a lot of data, a lot of different models. I think Brian has approached the process the right way. We talked with a lot of the media partners. We asked them a bunch of questions. We talked with sponsors and corporate partners. We asked them a bunch of questions, and then we're sitting down on the table and just kind of brainstorming. There's a lot of rumors out there, but I can tell you we're working really hard. We're analyzing as much data as we can. We're trying to grow the game. We're trying to do the right thing for the game. We're really hoping to make the right decisions. And even though I'm sure we're not going to make absolutely everybody happy, we want to protect the history of the game, the tradition of the game. And, once again, the game of golf is in a good spot. We got some good momentum going, and it's time to do some tweaks and changes to continue that path.
Well, Camilo, we'll let you go. I know you have to get to that meeting. Thanks, as always, for the time. Have a great week on and off the golf course this week at PGA National.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Always good to catch up with Camilo Villegas. What he does inside the ropes, important. But what he does outside with Mia's Miracles, his foundation, his wife, the involvement to carry on the memory of his daughter Mia, impacting the lives of so many. That is truly how many will remember Camilo Villegas in the years ahead. We are thrilled to be joined by the birthday boy, and you wonder, where does the time go, Zach? You can look at this a couple of different ways. But how much have you been looking at this day coming up on the calendar?
Well, it depends on what facet of life you're looking at. I'm excited. I'm excited for the next chapter. I'm excited, you know, from a golf standpoint, a work standpoint, to, go play against a lot of my buddies that I haven't seen in a minute. That's exciting. At a lot of venues that I miss because we, played them on the tour at one point. A lot of excitement there. Got to get used to the calendar. It's a little bit different than, the PGA Tour, but I can do that. Now, 30,000 foot view, turning 50, there's a lot of reality that kind of hits you. I'm not getting any younger, obviously. And, I'd like to say I'm wiser, but depends on probably who you ask there. I don't know. All that being said, I'm grateful that I still have a vehicle to go compete, And I'm ready for the next step. I'm grateful for the PGA Tour. I'll still play a little bit out there, maybe. But you know, New Horizons, 3 days most weeks in a golf cart, if desired, sounds pretty awesome.
It does sound pretty awesome. Zach, there's sort of like some first day of school vibes going on about your debut on the over 50 set. What are you most nervous or anxious about as you start this next chapter of your competitive career?
Yeah, I get that question. I don't know if I'm really anxious about anything. Anxiety hasn't really set in much in golf for me, fortunately. I mean, if there's anything that I'm, you know, kind of concerned about, it's just I operate week in, week out with, I would say, a certain rhythm, cadence, how I tackle each week. So how I do that, it's going to be different. I mean, the tournaments start on Friday. There's two pro-ams. There's a lot of things that I've just got to, you know, get used to the rhythm of the week. And so my guess is I'll get that down, but it's going to take some time. But that really is the bulk of my concerns outside of staying healthy. I mean, the bottom line is where I'm going. Yes, it is a different tour. But I'm not going to go in it just with high expectation. I got to work. I want to get better. I want to keep improving because where I'm going, they play really good golf. And I'm not going to take that lightly. I got to go work. I got to go compete at a high level. And that's how my mentality is going to be. Hopefully I can execute that, you know, Friday through Sunday.
Zach, I want to go back to a word you just said a moment ago, excited to see familiar faces, familiar golf courses. But on a deeper level, what excites you about playing on this PGA Tour Champions?
Yeah, like you said, I think that is the word that probably surfaces the most is the excitement. I mean, a lot of it's exciting. Obviously, seeing friends, seeing some faces that I hadn't been around in a minute, that's exciting. Some of my best friends are out there. I mean, that truly is exciting. I think more than anything, though, it's the excitement of knowing I'm in a position that I can still work and perform at a high level at 50 years old. I mean, I got the question like, is this where you thought you'd be? Or no, I didn't think. I mean, realistically, no. I mean, the reality of it is my dreams never got this far. Or even close. So I'm pinching myself. I mean, I'm coming into this, you know, with a posture of gratitude more than anything. I probably would still get into, you know, some tournaments on the PGA Tour, but I didn't play well enough to earn my card. And that's the beauty of the meritocracy that's established. But also, you know, I'm fortunate in the sense that my resume and what I've done in the past has garnered me the opportunity to play on PGA Tour Champions. And so I'm going both feet in. Again, I might play a few tournaments here and there on the PGA Tour, but for the most part, I'm going to take this, run with it, and excited to, or maybe drive with it because I'll be in a golf cart. But I'm going to go compete. I made the cut. As my wife has always told me, I don't want to see you on the weekend. I want you to play. And it sounds like I've made every cut with the exception of the majors. So I've got that going for me.
Zach, there's some pretty notable exceptions, whether it's a Justin Rose or an Adam Scott. But can you describe what sort of that phase and that period is like from the age of 45 to 49, where you're still trying to remain competitively relevant on the PGA Tour, but you also have an eye on what's next in the PGA Tour Champions?
Sure. It's an entirely different lens to look through than, you know, obviously 10, 15, 25 years ago. The PGA Tour is hard. I mean, it always has been. But, you know, personally speaking, that's all I can speak on. It's been really hard lately. I mean, I've had weeks where I thought I played pretty decent. And, I made the cut, but I didn't do much more than that. And so, you know, I don't love entering a tournament hoping to make the cut. I want to go in and win. And I didn't have a lot of opportunity, you know, on the weekends to win in the last 5-6 years, certainly not as to what I was accustomed to prior to that. So I look back on it and again, I'm grateful for those opportunities, but it's just been a lot more difficult lately. And, when I first got on tour, shoot, there were guys winning between the age of 42 and 50 and often. It just doesn't happen as much anymore for whatever reason. I mean, distance could be a part of that, certainly. But I would side on the fact that the youth of this game are just so much more prepared. That transition from collegiate or amateur golf to pro golf is a smaller step than it used to be. They're prepared mentally, physically, tactically. They've got teams, et cetera. It's just harder. But that's okay. That's the evolution of the game. That's fine. That's just where we're going. That's, you know, the guys before me put that into place. And one in particular, he's 2 months older than me, that's Tiger. I mean, what he did for the youth of this game is pure inspiration. So I was grateful to follow his coattails in that regard, ride his coattails. Hopefully he'll play some Champions Tour events too. But it was hard. I probably am somewhat of an outlier. I was able to compete, you know, still at 49, 50. There's not many guys left out there. I think I was the oldest guy in every field the last 2 years, with the exception of maybe three or four tournaments. And that's daunting, but also cool. So, again, I'm grateful for those opportunities.
Well, now you're going to be the youngest guy on the PGA Tour Champions, at least for a small window. You talk about being grateful. Bigger picture, expectations, goals, what would they be for 2026 for you out there?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. My goals, candidly, transparently, is just to stay healthy. When my body's in a position to play, I feel like I can do some really good work. And it's fine. I mean, I don't want to sit here and say I'm beaten up, but it takes a toll. I mean, it's just the gravity of the situation. There's a lot of compression over the years. And I put a lot of time and emphasis on the PT, on the working out, on the physio side of the game. So that's going to sound really cheesy, but that is my number one goal, is to stay ready and able to play. Outside of that, I mean, I want to go compete. I want to compete at a high level. I've talked to a lot of guys out there, a lot of nice morsels of wisdom, I guess. And the synopsis there is these guys are still really, really good. There's 3-day tournaments for the most part. So you got to put the pedal down quick. You got to make some putts early to get yourself in a position to win on the weekend. And there's going to be a learning curve there, but I welcome that. And I think the whole notion, you know, I'm going to have the mentality like, I mean, I still got to go earn it. Like, these guys that I'm going to go compete against have always been 1, 2, 5, whatever, 6, 7, 8 years older than me. And they were that same age gap was there, you know, 20 some years ago. And 20 some years ago, they beat me each and every week for the most part. So who's to say that won't happen again? I got to work and I got to get, you know, I've got to have the mentality of getting better each and every week rather than maintenance or, you know, or just trying to stay healthy. I've got to want to keep improving.
Well, Zach, happy birthday. Enjoy the celebration this week. Look forward to seeing you with the PGA Tour Champions starting next week.
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate you having me.
All right, stay tuned for more golf today as we shift our attention to the LPGA Tour. Hall of Famer Lydia Ko, who is set to defend in the HSBC Championship in Singapore. What have we learned about Lydia so far this year? Beth Ann Nichols stops by to give her thoughts. And for more on the LPGA, it's pleased to welcome in Beth Ann Nichols of Golf Week, our friend and Biffy. When you look at Gino Titikun, what sort of stood out about her latest victory at home in Thailand?
Well, I think first and foremost, this was, you know, 20 years now that we've had this event. So I think it was a great full circle moment for Gino, who first came to the Honda LPGA Thailand at the age of 8. And then a few years later, as an amateur, she beat half the field. And then now she returns 15 years later as a world number one for the first time and wins it. So, you know, it was a sentimental victory for her as the crowds are serenading her along. You know, she turned 23, her first win in front of her mom, which I think is really significant and reminds us that her parents only come out, you know, to the Asian events. So she's really out there on her own most of the time and has relied on this same team that has been with her for a decade plus now, to help her get to where she's at. So I think it was a beautiful moment for Thailand golf.
We just rifled through her player bio. She has won just about everything over the past 4-plus seasons except a major championship. Do you view 2026 for Geno as major or bust?
Oh, goodness. You know, I mean, I don't want to put that much pressure on her. I don't think that if she doesn't win a major this year that we're never going to see one from her. I do think, though, there are some questions, you know, that she still needs answered. I mean, it's a birdie fest, you know, winning in Thailand. It's a birdie fest winning at the CME. And so, you know, it's obviously a different kind of test, winning a major. And obviously the further along it goes, the harder it's going to be. But she is a really emotionally mature 23-year-old. To hear her talk about what she's thinking about under pressure, you know, down the stretch on Sunday in Thailand, she's repeating to herself, you know, I want to enjoy this moment. She's trying to find the joy in the nerves. And I think, you know, she knows the importance of staying grounded in this position. She's learned a lot in her time as being number one. She's had some pitfalls. She's already, you know, been through some heartbreak, plenty of heartbreak. So, you know, I think she's going to get it done, but I don't know if it's going to be this year.
But the win over the weekend, a promising start for the LPGA Tour in the new season. On social media, there was a tweet out there saying it was the first time the top two players in the world have won the first two events since the Rolex rankings debuted. And you throw in Charlie Hull winning and moving to number three. What does that say about the prospects for the season ahead on the LPGA?
Yeah, shout out to Justin Ray there with that nugget. The Rolex rankings are also celebrating 20 years. But, you know, it's a dream scenario for the LPGA to have these three players at the top of the game and all three in the winner's circle. You know, obviously, Nelly Korda hadn't won a tournament in 14 months. So for her to get that opening TOC victory was a huge deal. Then, you know, Geno, it was kind of late spring when she broke through for the first time. Last year and then Charlie in the fall. So, you know, to have all these players stack up right at the beginning of the year, 1, 2, 3, you know, coming off of a season in which we saw 29 different winners, where I think it was exhausting for LPGA fans to keep up with who was on top. I think having a season of the stars is, I can't wait for it. Please let it be.
Well, Bethann, a player who has spent plenty of time at the top of the world rankings is Lydia Ko, who's defending this week in Singapore. You look at her 2026 so far, two starts, two top five finishes. What have we learned so far this season about Lydia Ko and where she stands?
Well, it's interesting to hear Lydia Ko talk about, you know, look, iron play used to be the strength of my game, and then it turned into a weakness. You know, I lost my tee ball. I put a lot of effort into trying to, you know, straighten that out and find the fairways again. And in the process, it sort of flipped. And when you look at her stats from last year, she was outside the top 100 in greens hit and regulation. So that's where she and her team have put a lot of focus in the offseason, trying to dial in that iron play. And after she came out off of a round in Thailand hitting 16 greens, she was feeling really good about the progress there. You know, obviously she talked about in the first tournament of the year being a free agent with her equipment. She did some more tinkering with her equipment after the TOC, you know, doing anything to try to find that edge. But she feels like she's a more fundamentally sound Lydia Ko going into this season, which I like the sound of that.
Never too early, Bethann, to start looking at some Solheim Cup prospects, that is. Give me a player that's caught your attention that maybe we're going to hear the name a little more often in the coming months.
I think Mimi Rhodes is definitely the player to watch. As our friend Karen Stupple says, she has the clutch gene. She made the putt to win the Curtis Cup for the GB&I a couple years ago. She made a 14-footer at Q School to earn her card on the very last hole, needing birdie. Obviously won three times last year in the LET. Really has put a ton of work in her putting over the last few years. And it's, she's reaping the rewards right now. I think Anna Nordqvist will definitely be keeping an eye on Mimi.
Yeah, Mimi Rhodes, part of a junior Solheim Cup team in 2019, part of a national championship winning team at Wake Forest just a few years ago. Bethann Nichols, always appreciate the time. Thanks as always for the insight.
Thanks, guys.
Take a look at the LPGA Tour and the upcoming schedule. You reference Ryan, Singapore this week. Lydia Ko looking to go back-to-back. And then China a couple weeks from now for the Blue Bay LPGA. And then we get it back in the States. California, Arizona ramping up to the major championship season as well on the LPGA Tour.